From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Roughly 2 million people rely on the state's health insurance marketplace, known as Covered California, and the deadline for open enrollment is fast approaching. It closes at the end of this week, January 31st. But the health insurance landscape is also facing significant uncertainty and the potential for premiums to skyrocket after federal tax credits expired at the end of last year. According to the Public Policy Institute of California, about 90% of Covered California enrollees receive some kind of buffer in the form of subsidies against higher health care costs. But now, health plans are set to rise by more than 10% on average in California, ranging from annual increases of more than $6,000 per person for middle-income families to an increase of $1,000 per year for lower-income households. Jessica Altman is the executive director of Covered California and joins us with how they're navigating these changes at the federal level, as well as offer some last-minute advice for enrollees. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how does this year's open enrollment numbers compare to last year's?
It's still going to be a while until we fully see the impact of these changing federal policies and the reduced affordability, but we are definitely seeing some warning signs in our data. New enrollment, people coming in this open enrollment to find a plan, is down about 30% compared to the same time last year. We're starting to see an uptick in people canceling plans that they've had in the past. Some of that is normal. Some of it is more than we see in normal years, and particularly among middle-income consumers who we may get into but are hit the hardest by the federal changes. But we are also seeing people take advantage of the marketplace where they have options and they can shop and finding plans that come with a lower monthly cost and are able to meet their budget.
If someone's listening to this and they've never purchased health insurance through Covered California, help us visualize who most of your enrollees are.
So we are here to provide health insurance to people who need to buy it for themselves and their families. They are working, but they are working in a way that they don't have the privilege of an employer who's offering them coverage and those stable benefits. So one in four of our enrollees are sole proprietors. We're talking about people in the gig economy, people who retire before they're eligible for Medicare at 65, farmers and farm workers, truckers, hairdressers. If you really start to think about who you interact with in your daily life, you'll start to realize probably a lot of them don't have employer health insurance like you may have, and they'll need to look to a place like Covered California to get that coverage.
And you mentioned that you're just getting preliminary numbers right now. Of course, the enrollment deadline is later this week. When it comes to the drop in enrollment, it's been slower this year. I think you said around a 30% drop of new enrollees. Do you have an idea of who these enrollees are and what brackets they fall into?
We're seeing drops across the board, but interestingly, actually probably the clearest trend is the higher income people. I'm not saying high income, it's all relative, are dropping at higher rates. And what this has to do with is the way the federal government is changing the affordability structure. So the tax credits that expired at the end of the year, we call them the enhanced premium tax credits because that's what they were. They took tax credits we had and made them more generous. And so now we're going back to the tax credits that we had before, which are still very generous for many people, even though they're less generous than they have been. But then there's this group of middle-income consumers. We're talking about someone making about $63,000 a year and a little bit above that, who are not going to be eligible at all anymore for tax credits that lower the cost of coverage. Those premium increases are significant, and that's the group that we're starting to see the most troubling emerging trend of people dropping coverage.
And this expanded eligibility that you're talking about, I mean, this stems from the pandemic, correct?
So during the pandemic is when Congress created, passed legislation to create these enhanced tax credits. What I would say as someone who's been working on marketplaces and the Affordable Care Act since well before the pandemic is the pandemic was really the catalyst to address affordability challenges that existed. I mean, look, no one really knew how the Affordable Care Act was going to work. How would people find it affordable? Many people did, but some people didn't. And so the pandemic, when healthcare was front of mind, brought this opportunity to enhance these tax credits. And they worked. Marketplace enrollment doubled nationally. Uninsured rates across the country reached their lowest levels on record. And so it's pretty clear just in the experience that these enhanced, these more generous tax credits are the difference between many people having health insurance or being uninsured.
Was there the expectation that these enhanced tax credits would be sustainable and not just through the period of the pandemic, since you've worked in many marketplaces?
You know, to be honest, I think it depends on who you ask. You know, you will hear certainly members of Congress, generally Republicans, saying they were always intended to be temporary. Others saying, no, these addressed an affordability issue that is not one that just goes away after a pandemic and we need to maintain them. This is exactly partly why, as well as other debates on both sides of the aisle, this is the middle of a discussion in Washington, D.C., with different sides of the aisle having different perspectives and opinions on what should happen going forward.
Yeah, and I know that healthcare costs can vary greatly from one person to the next, but if you can give us a sense of how the enhanced tax credit expiration, how it's affecting healthcare costs in California.
Yeah, so again, we're talking about the 2 million Californians who rely on Covered California. And I'll give you kind of two examples, because you have one group of people, you know, the vast majority of our enrollees will still be eligible for financial support, but it'll be less generous. So you're talking about a monthly payment of, say, and this is an example, $30 going to $60, something like that. But then you have that middle income group where you're looking at an average increase of $500 per month in their coverage. This is because under the enhanced tax credits, the rule is no one should have to pay more than 8.5% of their household income for a benchmark plan on Covered California. So that's generally about what people are paying today, moving to a world where the federal government has said above this income, there's no more tax credits and you're gonna pay whatever the full premium is. Some of those people are in high cost regions, some are older, and older people do pay higher premiums to a certain degree for health insurance. And so some people are hit very, very hard by this. And it isn't a simple story across everybody. It really depends on your situation.
And why do premiums for health plans, when it comes to that increase, it can vary also depending on the region of California. Costs are lower in larger Southern California counties versus rural areas in Northern California, maybe parts of the Central Coast. Why is that?
Generally, because healthcare is more expensive in those regions, particularly hospitals tend to have a lot of variation in what they charge, even for the same service and even for generally having the same outcomes. There are also sometimes situations where people in certain regions are on average healthier or less healthy than another, use more healthcare services compared to another, but it often just comes down to the cost of healthcare in those regions. And honestly, what the research shows is that has to do with, is it a competitive market? Are there multiple hospitals people can choose from competing on price? Or do we have a situation where the hospital can effectively charge whatever it wants?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about premiums increasing, you know, by, you know, from $30 to $60, which is double, or $500 a month for some people, I mean, that's a lot of difficult decisions that people are making, whether deciding to enroll and also which plan to enroll into. Are you seeing people downgrading their insurance plans because of this?
We are. We're definitely seeing a trend in the data of consumers moving to plans with a lower monthly premium. Now, generally, though not always, the reason they have a lower premium is they're having a trade-off, a lower premium for a higher deductible, higher co-pays, things like that. You know, I think the positive way of looking at that is people are staying covered. People in these plans, bronze plans is the term of art, they have free preventive services, they have catastrophic coverage if something happens and they end up in the hospital. But we also sort of on the negative side know that high deductibles can have really negative impacts, deter people from getting care that they need and deserve. And so there are trade-offs here. That is definitely something we're seeing in the data.
Mm. You know, also on the website for Covered California, it said that changes at the federal level could also create additional steps to enroll. So how is the process different this time?
The process is not different this time, but it will be different as we head, particularly actually all the way forward to 2028. And so we did have H.R. 1, some call it the Reconciliation Bill, others call it the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, that passed over the summer with sweeping changes to healthcare. Most of the conversation, rightfully so, has been about the massive cuts to Medicaid programs around the country called Medi-Cal here in California. But there are a number of provisions that impact covered California and marketplace coverage around the country as well, including what we call these red tape provisions that are going to prevent us from automatically renewing people, require people to get all of their paperwork in and cleared if something is harder to verify than it normally is before people can even get their coverage and get their tax credit. So we're really thinking about these provisions even now, right, 2 years out, and how we can improve our processes to not have consumers get stuck in that red tape.
You know, as it stands now with those enhanced tax credits and those subsidies expiring, is the state stepping in at all to help covered California during this time? I mean, I know California is also facing its own budgetary challenges, but is there any kind of investment at the state level to help buffer this?
We're very privileged to live in one of just a handful of states that is, to the extent they can, in a time when budgets are challenging and the federal government is pulling back their support of core social programs in so many ways. So California has given through the budget process, thanks to the governor and the legislature. Covered California has $190 million this year, so coverage for 2026, that we are using to the extent possible to mitigate some of these premium hikes. Now, the enhanced tax credits are $2.5 billion estimated a year for California. So I'm not going to pretend that this is going to protect everyone from increases or make health insurance as affordable as every person on Covered California deserves it to be. But it is making a difference. Nearly 400,000 of our lowest income enrollees are currently benefiting from this program that, again, we're so lucky to have in California. Most states have nothing like that. Mm.
Finally, I mean, you still have 4 days for people to enroll. If someone is on the fence, given, you know, the rising premiums that many enrollees are facing, what advice do you have for someone to navigate this properly and to make sure they don't miss on an opportunity of potentially saving some money?
So if you're someone who's like, I just can't even engage with this, this is overwhelming. I understand that. I mean, health insurance is stressful in a normal time, but with these headlines and premium increases out there, it can be incredibly daunting. I would say at least take, and it truly is about 2 minutes or less, come to coveredca.com. That's our website. You can use what's called our shop and compare tool and get a very quick quote, right? What tax credit are you eligible for? What plans are available in your area? And what are you going to pay for them? I would also just remind, right, health insurance is about two things. It's about that investment in yourself, in your family. Preventive care is at no cost to the patient and every plan sold through Covered California, so you can make that investment. But it is also a financial protection. One night in the hospital in the state of California averages over $4,000. And so health insurance, maybe you know you're going to need a lot of care. Maybe you're healthy and hope it stays that way. And I hope you do too. But a lot of people in this country go into medical debt and even bankruptcy going without coverage and getting healthcare that is incredibly expensive. And this is a fundamental protection for those circumstances.
Jessica Altman is the executive director of Covered California, the state's health insurance marketplace. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. Now I want to bring in Dr. Sergio Aguilar-Gaxiola, a professor of clinical internal medicine at UC Davis Health. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicky.
So
glad
you were
to be here.
Oh, very happy to have you. Thank you for taking the time. You were at an event yesterday with Covered California, as well as Congressmember Doris Matsui, a Democrat that represents Sacramento, encouraging people to enroll in Covered California ahead of the January 31st deadline. What would you like people to better understand about the benefit that Covered California has on healthcare overall?
Well, let me tell you, I've been doing population-based research for over three decades. And we, for example, we conducted, me and many colleagues, the largest study of people of Mexican origin in terms of health and mental health disorders. And one of the things that was so clear in that study is that tremendous differences between the people of Mexican origin who were born in the U.S., in which those who were needing mental health services, for example, one in three were receiving any of different services. One in six of those who were born in Mexico, so the immigrants, use services less. And then we included farm workers. And in the case of farm workers, less than one in 10 who were needing services were receiving them. And this is just to underline how critically important is for those who are in need of health or mental health services to have access to the services, because if they don't have access, then a number of very negative consequences may happen. Mm. And in the case of Latinos, I can tell you in particular, don't go for services, health or mental health services, until they are falling apart. So I applaud the efforts of COVID California to be proactive and reach out to the people who can benefit from being insured.
So given the changes at the federal level, the enhanced tax credits are expiring, is that a concern to you that there may be some people who, you know, enrolled and were open to preventative care because there were less barriers to having something like Covered California, and now they may not enroll this time around?
Yes, I'm very concerned about that. Actually, I was appointed by Governor Newsom to the Protect Access to Healthcare Act. I'm a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. And that is in terms of the use of Medi-Cal or Medicaid nationally for Californians. And we had been meeting for over a year now, and there is a lot of concern about what's happening with, and Jessica was very eloquent in sharing with the audience what the federal government is, canceling, having access to health care through Medicaid, for example. So I'm very concerned, and that's one of the reasons I'm very interested to come on the air, and I appreciate CAP Radio for this opportunity, because if people were not having access to health care because affordability issues, let's say a year ago, now is even more pronounced, more aggravated because of the increase in insurance rates. So the other reason is that I'm so clear that those who are in most need for health and mental health services, they are also facing layers of stressors, like, for example, what's happening right now here in the U.S., certainly in California as well, Minnesota, that people are really stressed out. And this has an impact on health and mental health. And they need to have access to healthcare in a timely basis. And I want to make, if I can, Vicky, appeal for people to think about prevention as well. Many of the disorders or conditions that people suffer from, like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, to a great extent can be prevented. Certainly the complications and the consequences of not receiving timely care can be prevented. And what Covered California is offering, as Jessica mentioned, is preventive care as well as maternal care. So that is very positive. And people need to realize what a critical issue this is. And there is this little window, as you mentioned, until the end of this month, January 31st, to enroll in something that can give them a peace of mind. Mm.
You know, we only have a minute left, and I really appreciate how you're hinging on mental health and the need for mental health and the differences of accessing or even wanting to access help for mental health, depending on generational differences, you know, whether you might be older, whether you're born here or you immigrated here. But all of these people oftentimes live in the same household, or they're within the same family or in the same loved one group. Mm-hmm. What conversations do you want people to have today? You know, maybe if there is someone who's younger and more open to preventative care and mental health services, to have with someone who might be older or more just apprehensive to accessing and making time and space for that in their life.
Well, that's a great question, and because that is the reality. Especially nowadays that many families have multiple generations living under the same roof because of affordability and communication, open, transparent, timely communication is of critical importance for the abuelos, you know, the grandparents to speak with the certainly their kids and the grandkids as well. And see what are the different needs that they have, and if possible, to make decisions about what is it that they can afford. Thankfully, you know, there are credits that Jessica mentioned in the case of COVID California that can be applied, and the ideal would be for everyone in the household, from little children all the way to the grandparents or even great-grandparents to be insured.
Dr. Sergio Aguilar-Gaxiola is a professor of clinical internal medicine at UC Davis Health. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Vicky.
It is an important conversation. We've been talking about Covered California. The deadline for open enrollment is this Saturday, January 31st. Up next, we'll learn more about a handful of policies currently at risk that are set up to safeguard transgender youth in California. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.